Let's talk about the origin of this show. What was it? Something you and Patty had talked about wanting to team up and do something, and how did that come to be, and how you chose what you did?
The way it all began was I forget the gentleman's name, but Stacy Levine can get you his name if you want it. But there was a guy who was the head of the guy who runs the new theater complex in Richardson, Texas, which was like 9 or 10 years ago. And he called Patty's people and said they had Mandy, and he called my people and said they had Patty. And they didn't have either one of us, and they wanted us to open their new theater center. Each do a half hour, 20 minutes or something like that, and then, you know, sing a song like, you know, Getting to Know You and say goodnight, Gracie. So I particularly hate those kind of evenings. So I was ready to blow it off, and before I blew it off, I said to my piano player and collaborator, Paul Ford, who's been with me for 24 years, I said, look, before we blow this thing off, do you think we could put together a show that told a story so that it wasn't just, you know, a bunch of songs, but told a story and had a kind of figurative journey? And we could have it for the rest of our lives and keep changing it. And he said, yeah, I do. And so I went and asked Patty. She was in Noises Off at the time. And I went to the theater, and then afterwards I went to chat with her about it. And I said, what do you think of this? She said, go ahead, Dal. So Paul and I collected all the material from everything she's ever done, shows and concerts and recordings, et cetera, and the same for me. And then we looked at it all. And then, you know, some of it was fine, but we were really interested in finding a story to tell about two people. So we opened the floodgates to everything out there that existed, the whole ocean of material that's out there. So anyway, we then opened the floodgates to look at all the endless material out there, for not just stuff that we knew or that we were familiar with, but, you know, things that we weren't familiar with. And so then we just assembled this skeleton of a story. And then we started doing it about 9 years ago, and we did it a few times, but then our schedules got crazy and we couldn't do it. So about 4 years ago, our schedules lightened up, and we had time to go out and do it and book it. So we got a rehearsal studio, and Paul and I went back to the drawing board and reworked a lot of stuff that I wasn't happy with. And then we started doing it all over the world, all over the U.S. and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. And we just kept changing it here and there, every tweaking it all the way along the way, including when we just came to Broadway. Tonight we finished, so it was quite a marathon, and we had a gorgeous, glorious time here. And people, you know, think of Broadway as a whole thing, and they say, oh, no, this is just a stop by the road for us. We're headed to Kansas City after here. Yeah, Broadway was our tryout for Kansas City.
So when you looked at South Pacific and Carousel, were these shows that you'd always kind of loved to have done, but the timing or the age or the whatever wasn't right? And same for Patty?
Actually, I never did. I can't answer for Patty. I don't know the answer to that for her. But I never did South Pacific. I actually did an album of it with Terry Takanwa and I can't remember if it was Jose Carreras, Plácido Domingo. I get all those guys mixed up. And Sarah Vaughan, though, I remember. And I played Cable. I sang Younger Than Springtime on that, on this album for CBS Masterworks. That's the only thing I did with it. But I played in Carousel when I was a little boy, when I was 15 years old, and I had to paste the sideburns on because I had no facial hair. And Carousel actually became a monumental cornerstone of my life, for the reason that we rehearsed, you know, my mother kept saying to me, why don't you go over to the Young Men's Jewish Council Youth Center? They're doing plays over there. And I said, oh, that's not for me. You don't know me at all. And finally, a guy in fifth period lunch, a big football player, said, hey, we're doing some plays over here. You know, we're short of guys. You want to come over? I said, sure, I'll come. So I go on over. And we rehearsed Carousel. We did it in the gymnasium at the youth center. And this guy, Bob Condor, was the local drama coach. And we rehearsed it in the same room I went to nursery school in. And I remember we did the heaven scene with the ladder out by where the sandbox was, where we used to play. And then one day, this was the seminal moment for me. One day, he put us all in a semicircle, these high school kids from 13 to 18 years old who were in the production. And he asked us all, what's this play about? And we raised our hands and said, you know, it's about a guy who makes a mistake, about a guy who goes to heaven, about a guy who gets a second chance, about a guy, about a guy, about a guy. And he said, like a wonderful teacher, he said, well, I think you're right. I think it's about all those things. He said, but I also think it's about something else. He said, I think it's about if you love someone, tell them. And that just hit a light bulb and a nerve in me that just never went out. I'd always gone to the synagogue. You know, I was in Hebrew school every day and temple on the weekends. And I heard the rabbi give a million sermons, and I never heard anything like that. And my parents were great and said things around the dinner table, but I never heard something like that. And my mind said, well, heck, if this is what musical theater is and what it talks about, I'm sort of interested in that. So I hung in. And the thing about Rodgers and Hammerstein, when we were putting our story together, the Patty Mandy journey, is the beautiful thing about South Pacific is it's where two people meet and say hello. And then how we use the carousel section, we do sort of mini versions of these pieces, but we took what we wanted to say, the parts of the story we needed. And then toward the end of the evening is this whole section of Carousel where they meet. The entire bench scene from Carousel is the singularly greatest musical theater piece ever written. And I think Steve Sondheim would be the first one to agree.
I'll tell you, Mandy, there was a downtown performance space here that did Carousel last summer in a gritty loft space with just bare light bulbs. It was one of the most moving, beautiful things I've ever seen.
I know. It's so pure and raw. It's so simple. It's so astounding. And the real astounding thing to me is, you know, here we are doing the bench scene, which in the piece is written for 20-some-year-olds. Well, we're, you know, I'm 59 and she's a little older. And you swear it was written for us because it's timeless. It's about two people saying hello, falling in love, going through their lives. And so it really is written by adults, not for children, but for the children and all of us.
Mandy, this journey you talk about, you're obviously playing yourselves, but are you in a way playing two people around your ages? Do you know what I mean?
That's the best question you could ask, because Patty's always wondered, you know, in the beginning she asked me that. And I think we work in different ways at some times. I always am myself. But I'm myself as these characters. I think sometimes Patty sometimes is both herself and the character. She may go toward the character first, and I'll go toward myself first. But I'm not even sure. We never talk about it, okay? And nor do I want to talk about it. She works the way she works. But at the end of the day, we are always ourselves. It's always Patty and Mandy being the people in South Pacific. Those are our names, you know. In South Pacific, we are Billy and Julie in Carousel. We are Charlie and Mary in Merrily We Roll Along. We are all those people, but we're also always Patty and Mandy. So the continuing nervous system link, the thread that runs through the entire evening, is that even though you're watching all these characters at different stages of their life go through this journey, you're also watching these two people named Patty and Mandy, who also met and also did certain things and also, you know, gets to a place in the evening where we just do balled out showbiz, which is like vaudeville, and then we do Evita. And it's, so we're always ourselves.
Right. Speaking of Evita, Mandy, Ralph Fiennes was on Charlie Rose and talked about he had done Coriolanus before, but knew he had not quite gotten it, you know, and he wanted to go back and do it and did this film. When you talk about songs from Evita, are those songs sort of, there's other ways I can do them? I love returning to them because of what they represent or what memories they provoke.
Oh, everything, not just Evita, anything and everything I've ever done. The reason being is you walk down the road, your life changes, you get a little, I'm not sure if you're any wiser or smarter than you were when you were 20-something because, you know, a guy like Arthur Miller wrote Death of a Salesman at 25, so whether you understand what you understand or not, sometimes we just hit on things in our youth that then we spend the rest of our life trying to get back to or remember. But there's also certain aspects of being older, whether you're playing Hamlet or George Seurat or Billy Bigelow, or singing a song from Evita where you have a newborn wisdom and knowledge both of your journey, the world's journey that you've been living in, and the echoes of time that have affected your interpretation of this material. So on the one hand, I love being able to revisit things that I've either done before or that aren't even appropriate for me to do at my age because they're written for a younger person, whether it be Hamlet or Billy Bigelow, because you just can't know what you know when you're 20-something, when you're Hamlet's age. But you also can't underestimate whatever and whoever you were when you were a young person, which might be more innocent less judgmental, more open, and more instinctual than anything you could have. Very thrilling places to be in your personal timeline. And neither one can be exchanged for the other. And certainly when you're older, every second of your olderness has been informed by your youngerness. And you take one thing away, and it's like those old science fiction movies. You know, if you try to go back in time, the whole world will collapse. I think it's true.
Our listeners would love to know what you recall of going to KU in Lawrence.
Oh, my God. I so loved it, particularly all the friends I made there. Bill Kulke, William Kulke, who was a professor at the time, and we did Arthur Kopitz Indians. And I think Bill, who's still a friend today, is one of the greatest actors I've ever met in my life. So extraordinary that he did not want to go the professional route. He wanted to stay in the educational circles. And I don't think I've ever met an actor of his equal in my whole career. And then my friends that I met there brought me out to the Creed Repertory Theater in Colorado, which has, I think it's in its 45th or 6th or 7th season. And that was, just one of the glorious places of my life in terms of growth and friendship, and they're still my friends today. And
you went there to do theater?
Yeah, I went there to do theater, and to do both in Colorado and at KU. I just love KU, and I miss it, and I miss my dog Sebastian running around University Avenue and the whole gang. I just, I was a kid, and it was a very formative moment in my life.